Okay, good morning. We'll start again with the Mishnah all the way back on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis to get back into the flow of things. As we know, when an animal does the things that you expect it to do, that's regal, you pay full damage in the domain of the one damaged. If it does something unusual, you pay half damage because Mishune is Karen, and then you pay half damage for the first three times it did it. As a tam, says the Mishnah, HaKelev Agdi Shekafzu Merosh Agag V'Shabrus HaKelim. Somebody left a dog or a goat on a roof, and they jump off the roof and they break utensils. Well, that's not Mishuneh. That's completely expected. That's normal for animals to jump off of roofs. And therefore, Mishalem Nezek Shalem P'tei Shem Mu'adin has to pay full damage because that should have been anticipated and expected, and this would be the same as regel in the domain of the one damaged. However, hakelav shenatal charara, a dog that takes a flaming piece of toast or cake, the toast is on fire, v'halach lagadish, and he runs to a hay pile, and achal acharara, he finished eating the toast, v'hidlak hagadish, and he ignited the rest of the hay pile, and the pile burns down. For the piece of toast, he pays full damage because that's shame, that's tooth, that's anticipated. Alagadish, the fact that the dog burnt down the hay pile, for the hay pile, he only pays chatzi nezek, half damage. So first the Gemara will discuss the first law of the Mishnah, that when a dog jumps off of a roof and breaks things, it's anticipated, and you pay full damage. Time of the kaftzu. If the Mishnah said that it jumped, that's why you have to pay full damage, because that's what's normal. Hanaflu, let's say the dog's on the roof, and it slips off the roof, and it falls. That apparently is not normal. Then you're patur, you don't have to pay. Why? Presumably because that's something that's out of your control. That was an onus. That's something completely unanticipated and unexpected and out of your power. So I don't understand, asks the Gemara. The very fact that you left a dog on the roof is being negligent because you should expect the dog's going to jump. If the dog ended up not jumping but slipping, but you were already negligent. Don't we have a rule that tchilaso bipshia, if you began by being negligent, sofo ba'ones, ultimately what happened was something out of your control, not something of negligence, but you began with negligence. There's a dispute. Some say you're obligated, some say you're not obligated. So apparently this Mishnah Kasavra thinks tchilaso bipshia, if you began with being negligent, the sofa bonus, but it ended up happening with forces out of your control. Patu, you're exempt. Because it's saying only if you jumped are you obligated, but not if the animal slipped. So the Gemara says, Tainam Yachri also learned in a brice like this. If a dog or a goat jump off of a roof and break things, then Mishal Nezik Sham, then you pay full damage. But Naflu, if they slipped off and fell, Pturit. So Gemara says, well, second, Anicha, that all works. That works if you think that that's correct. If you think that something which began with negligence, since it ultimately ended off not being negligence that caused the damage, but an onus, some factor out of control, then you're exempt. So then, fine, our Mishnah makes sense. El Madam Archayev, but according to the opinion that says that when there was Tchilas Upshia, so who cares what happens eventually, even if at the end the damage was bonus. But since it began with Pshia, there's obligation. So then what about our Mishnah? Why does our Mishnah only say Kaftzu, even Naflu? So Michael, man, what are you going to say? So my answer is no. The Mishnah is saying if it jumped on utensils, you have to pay because that was anticipated. But it implies that if it slipped on utensils, you wouldn't have to pay. Which utensils wouldn't you have to pay for? The utensils that a person wasn't ever a poshe in regards to those utensils. There are utensils that are very close to the wall. So the animal is not expected to slip. The animal is expected to jump. If it jumps, it's going to be somewhat away from the wall. So it is a poshea on the utensils that are somewhat away from the wall. You were a poshea. But to the animal, but to the utensils that are right next flush against the wall, you never were negligent about those utensils.
They're out of the way.
It was out of the way. It was, so that's a complete onus, and on that you are exempt. Because even if they would jump, which is what you should expect, lo nafli alayo, they would never have fallen on these utensils. You don't even have a beginning of being negligent. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu l'zakus es Yisrael, l'ficha chibur lem Torah mitzvah shenemar adonai chafetz l'man tzidko yagdil terav yadir. We are on Chafala from the base. Amar Rav Zvid Sved, Mishmei de Rav, on the name of Rava. Pamim, there would be scenarios. Shafilu naflu nami chayev, that even if you put a dog or a goat on a roof, and they didn't jump off the roof, they slipped off the roof and fell on a utensil, you would have to pay for it. Why? When you are being negligent in regards to slipping. Mishkachas labakoso ra'ua. When it was a very weak wall. So of course it's going to slip off. It's a weak wall around the roof. It's going to slip off. So the says, what do you mean? My news. So what are you telling me? That he should have realized that the wall is going to fall? But it wasn't the wall that fell. V'nafal inu. It was the animal that fell. So then again, it's tchilaso bipshia. He put an animal into a scenario which is negligent, because the animal will likely get out of this. But sova bonus, what ultimately happened was something unusual, that it slipped, and it's not normal for animals to slip. It wasn't normal. My answer is, lo tzricha, no, we're talking about bekotel tsar. He put the animal on a roof when there's a very narrow wall, or Rashi says maybe a sloped wall. So when there's a sloped wall, you know the animal's going to slip off the wall. And that's what happened. It slipped off the wall. So then you're negligent about slipping, and then you have to pay for the slipping. When our Mishnah says you only have to pay for the jumping of the animal, implying not for the slipping, is when it was a flat roof, which had some space, you're not expecting it to slip off the roof. And then we're saying the jumping you're responsible for, because on that you were posher, you should have known the animal would jump. The slipping, though, you wouldn't be responsible for, because that you didn't anticipate to happen. Once you were negligent in regards to jumping, according to some, you should be responsible even for slipping. The answer is no, because the slipping was on utensils that wouldn't have been reached by the jumping. So in regards to those utensils, you weren't negligent. So therefore, you don't have to pay for the damage to those utensils.
Okay, but how about if the animal is hefker?
Then you don't have to pay.
So these are just your own animals?
Yes. That's right.
Right,
okay. Tana Rabbana, now on the bottom of Chafal from the base, our sages taught in a braisa, Ha kelev agdi, a dog or a goat, shadolgu, that jump. Mi mata lemala, if they jump from below to on top, turin, that's unusual, you don't need to pay. Milmala lemata, but if a dog or a goat jump from on top to the below, chayavim, you have to pay. Adam retired to go, but a person who's always responsible, or a chicken, they have different degrees of jumping. Shadilgu, and they jump, Beimil Mal Lamatan, both from on top to below, Beimil Mal to Lamalan, or from below to on top, Chayav. You have to pay. Asks the Gemara, Vatanya Brilantin Abraisa, Kelev Agdi Shadilgu, a dog or a goat that jump, Bein Milamata Lamata, whether they're jumping from on top to below, Bein Milamata Lamala, or jumping from below to on top, Pturin, they are exempt. So you see, it's not like what you said. So Tirgamar Rav Papa said, when did this Brisa say that you're exempt when the dog jumps from on top to below, which is against the Mishnah, against the earlier Brisa? When it's doing backflips, it's turning around, it's jumping from the roof, and when jumping it does a 360 pirouette and ends up on something else, then you don't need to pay. Kalba bizakira, the dog is doing a jump like a goat, and gadja bisricha, and a goat jumping with its talons and its nails like a dog. So when they do all these unusual contortions of their bodies, then you don't need to pay. Why would you not have to pay? It's mishune. It's unusual activity. It should be Karen. You should be paying 50%. You're right. You're exempt from full damage. But you would be obligated in half damage. So once we've gotten that, so when the Braisa said before that a dog that jumps from on top to below, you're obligated. But from below to on top, you're not obligated. When it said from below to on top, you're not obligated, it meant it's not obligated in full damage. It's not normal, but it is obligated in half damage. Anytime an animal does something unusual, it's Karen. So you pay at least half damage. It's not regel. Regel is the things that are the norm, behavioral activities of the animal. So now we get to a very exciting, exciting topic, the fireworks of this morning. What is the understanding of fire? How do we understand this damager called fire? The Mishnah said a very strange thing. The Mishnah said that if a dog grabbed a piece of toast and it ate the toast, so on the toast you pay full damage. Makes sense. It wants to eat the toast. But the toast had these coals on it and some embers burning, and it brought those embers to a hay pile and it burned the hay pile. So now you pay half damage on the hay pile. So what's shot in that? Why are you paying half damage for the hay pile? Pay the whole damage, pay no damage. What, where did you get half damage? So let's see.
Who owns the fire?
That's another good question. It's a good question. Would it help to spread it, though? That's a good point. Who owns the fire?
Just to clarify the case that we learned, it wasn't a Rishut Yechid on this mikveh.
Only in the private domain.
This was on Rishut
Domain. Yeah, the cases of the dog were in the private domain. Yes. Yeah. So the Mishnah said, "Akelav shnatu l'sacharara." So let's now understand the definition of fire. Itmar, we learned. Rav Yochanan Amar. Rav Yochanan said, "Esho mishum chitzav." Explains Rashi. Esho ashaleach esabiira. Someone who sets off a fire. Mishum chitzav chiyavo hakasav. The Torah obligated him for his arrows. To iu ka'avid. He's the one doing it. He's considered like someone throwing an arrow. In other words, we know that I'm responsible for damage that my body does. Let's say if I punch someone. But if the force of my body does something, I'm also responsible. If I pick up a stone, it's not my stone, it's an ownerless stone. I pick up a stone, I chuck it at a window, and I smash the window. I'm responsible. Because that's my action. It's my force. I propelled the stone. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, when the Torah says that a person has to pay for the damage of the fire, the Torah is teaching a chiddush. Fire is like a stone that he threw. Because what happens with fire? He starts a spark. Then the wind extends the fire and makes it spread. He knows it's going to spread. So he's harnessing the wind. And the Torah's chiddush is, number one, that the fire is your action. And it's as if you threw an arrow. And basically, fire is adama mazik. Fire is a person who damages. We're going to see, the Gemara is going to ask. So you might as well pay all four damages of humiliation, of pain. It's basically a person's actions. Fire is a person's actions.
So he's guilty.
Well, you know you're guilty. The question is, why are you guilty? Are you guilty as in terms of a person's actions? Or are you guilty as property's actions? Because fire is really not property and it's not really an action. But what's the chiddush of the Torah? Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, no. Esho mishum mimona. When the Torah says you have to pay for the damage caused by your fire, it's not saying that your fire is your arrow. Your fire is your ox. The Torah is being machadesh. The Torah is teaching that a fire is considered an entity that's property, and it's your property that went out and damaged. You should have watched your, like, you're supposed to watch your ox. You should have watched the fire. You should have put
sprinklers,
you know, sprinklers around it. You should have covered it. You should have smothered it. You didn't. So you were negligent in not watching it. It's your property that went out and damaged. So now the Gemara asks, Rish Lakish, who says that it's considered your property that damaged, my time alone with Rabbi Yochanan. Why doesn't he understand like Rabbi Yochanan that when the Torah is innovating this new idea that you're responsible for fire, it's saying that fire is your action. I'll tell you, no. When you talk about arrows, I pulled the bow back and I'm making the string taut. I'm propelling the arrow forward. You see?
You had some control over it.
Well, it's your action that's pushing it forward. I love Mikocho Kazli. When I light a fire, I'm not pushing the fire forward. Then the wind took it and spread it. How could you say fire is my action? I started it, but then it went on its own. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's a human action, my time alone with Kriyash Lakish. Why didn't he take fire and stick it into the category of property that damages? Amal Chai will tell you, Mimonis, but Mimasha, you can't say that a person's fire is his property. Property, as we mentioned over Shavuos, is something that has something tangible to it. You can touch it, there's something real to it. Halas b'mamasha, fire is flames. There's nothing to flames. There's no, you can't hold a flame. You can't pick it up. It wouldn't, you know, it's not, there's no, nothing tangible. So if it's not tangible, yet the Torah says you have to pay. It's not because you have to pay for property. So you have to pay for your action. When you pick up somebody else's stone and throw it, so again, there's nothing tangible. There's just the force. There's your action. Fire is your action.
What about the wind? Carries
is that part of an amazing thing that you're, the wind becomes your action because you know the wind is coming. Since it's a ruach metzuya, it's an anticipated wind, it's considered your action.
If you burn half of the state of California, you're in big trouble.
And then you, with your hands, have burned, according to Rav Yochanan, with your hands, have burned half the state of California.
So what the king asked, wanted to ask, so if Srefabi Glal Chom and the Kelev, my Kelev too, you know,
we'll get to that. Now, Tananu, in the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, HaKelev Shenatal Charara, a dog that spread a fire. That's the case of our Mishnah. There's a piece of toast that's on fire. The dog goes for the toast because he's hungry. And then when he's eating the toast, he then ends up lighting the whole hay pile on fire. So the Mishnah says, for the toast he pays full damage, for the hay pile he pays half damage. Okay, Mishnah, if you're going to say fire is considered a person's force, it's like a person throwing an arrow. This Mishnah makes a lot of sense. Chitz of the Kelevu makes a lot of sense now. When it ate the piece of toast, that was shame. But then when the fire spreads, when it brings a fire somewhere, that's like throwing an arrow. So we'd learned that when an animal propels something, that's called srorot. On srorot, you pay half damage. So it makes a lot of sense. The animal's action, direct action, was eating the toast. The fire is the animal throwing like a stone, because it's his force. The force of an animal is tsrorot, and according to the Chachamim, for tsrorot you pay 50%.
How about the guy who owned the coal, what he stole, that the animal stole, the dog stole?
He would not be responsible.
He's not responsible. But no. But it sounds like according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he has to watch.
No, Rabbi Yochanan says it's your action. El Madar Resh Mishimimono. But according to Resh Lakish, who says that fire is property, and the reason why you need to pay for the damage of your fire is that you're paying for property's damage. So high age, but now over here in this case, you have Roger's problem. The dog didn't make the fire. I, the owner of the dog, didn't make the fire. The fire was made by the guy who was trying to make the toast. So high age, this fire lav mimona de bal kelevu is not the property of the owner of the dog. So why should the owner of the dog have to pay? Amalcha Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish will tell you like this. Hachab mayaskina, in the case of the Mishnah is the following. The adye adyuye, the dog threw the piece of toast. It's not that the dog came, saw the bread, started eating it and runs with it, drops it, and the fire spreads. The dog runs at the piece of toast, he's eating it, and then suddenly he threw it, he played fetch with it. He threw it from his mouth all the way to the hay pile, and it dropped on the hay pile. So when he throws the piece of toast, that's kocho, that's his force. That's only his force.
The dog threw it.
The dog threw it.
But that's abnormal.
For the piece of toast, the owner of the dog pays full damage, because that was anticipated, that's tooth. Al makom gacheles, where the piece of toast landed when he threw it, that's chatzi nezek, that's half damage. What are you going to say? Oh, but it's not the fire of the dog owner? Yeah, but when an animal's walking in the street and it steps on a pebble and the pebble flies and it breaks Izzy's wind.
On Shabbat,
right? Izzy's glass. It breaks his glass. The pebble belonged to the animal? No. The pebble is part of the street. But the animal propelled it. So here too, when the animal takes somebody else's fire and he throws it, he's propelling something. That's literally him propelling something. So that's tsroro. So for that he pays half damage for where it landed. Then when it spreads further, v'alagadish kula, for the rest of the pile, that's already the mimono. That's a property damaging. Well, it's not his property. It's not the property of the dog. It's the property of the owner of the toast. So then Pratya, the owner of the toast, is exempt because his fire would never have gotten there if not for the dog getting involved. Whereas the dog owner is exempt because it's not his property. So for the rest of that, he'd be Pater. That's the way Rish Lakish would read the Mishnah.
So he's going to collect 1.5 times? Is that what you're saying, Rabbi?
No.
No. All right, then I understand.
For the piece of bread, there's full damages because that was anticipated. The dog threw the bread and it landed on the hay. So where it landed, that little piece of hay that gets burned, he pays half damage, because that's tsroro. But then the fire spreads and burns the rest of the hay field. For that he's exempt, because it's not his fire. It belongs to the owner of the toast, who made the fire.
What's the distinction? Is the dog doesn't throw it, but the dog goes and puts it down. What's the difference there?
If the dog would not have thrown it, so then it's not kocho, it's not the force of the dog, because it's just the fire spreading normally, and it's not the property of the dog owner, that fire.
Would this backwards, if we went back to a few weeks ago, if someone was watching it for you, and the dog...
Yeah, we'll get into that.
So the owner of the toast is going to be liable for this stuff?
We'll see. At this point, not, because... He said, I never expected the dog to get my piece of bread and to go bring it, to throw it. Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that the case of the Mishnah is not that the dog threw the toast, but da'an che'anucha. The dog took the toast in its mouth and then it drops it down. So for the bread, he has to pay full damage. Where he dropped the bread, he pays also full damage because that's his action. That's literally the dog's body. Al hagadish, but when the fire spread, that's already kochel. That's the force of the dog. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, when a fire spreads, that's the force of a person. So mashalim chati nezek. So for a dog, you only pay half damage because it's troros. It is pebbles.
But when the other guy says you're not liable at all for the spreading.
Correct. Rish Lakish says, you're not liable at all because it's property, and this is not your property. This is the fire of the other guy.
It's like one remove from this situation. Where he's putting it down, it's direct cause, because he's putting it down, and then it's spreading.
It's property, according to him. But Rabbi Yochanan, it's not property, it is force. Yeah, we saw that. That was a suffix.
So why is we don't have a suffix?
It's here, it's all one koach. That's like a new energy, right? That broke this piece, which broke that piece, but this is one force.
Too many steps.
So again, the big argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is how to understand fire. Rabbi Yochanan understands fire as being an arrow that a person has propelled. Rish Lakish understands fire as being property that a person's not watching and he's therefore responsible for the damage that his property causes. Tashma, come in here. We learned the following Mishnah. Gamal ta'un pishtan, a camel loaded with flax. V'avar b'shus harab, and it's walking through the public domain. Nichnasa pishtan l'tocha chanus, and he allowed the flax to get into somebody's store. The camel put the flax in the store. And then once it's in the store of Adalko Benero Shulchan Vani, the flax caught fire with the candle of the store owner. Then the camel runs off, Idlika Sabir, and it burns down a whole house. Baal Gamol Chay, the owner of the camel, is the one responsible. If the store owner put his candle outside the store, which is where he should never have done so, so Chen Vani Chay, the owner of the store, is responsible for the damages of the fire. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, but if the candle that was left outside the store was a Hanukkah candle, then the owner of the store is exempt because he's entitled to put the Hanukkah candle there. Okay. Now, Bishmul Amadar Meshim Mishum Chitzav, I understand. If you're going to say that fire is the force of the fire spreader and igniter, so then, Chitzav de Gamalhu. So here, the one spreading the fire is the camel, so it's the force of the camel. But according to Rish Lakish, that the reason why you pay with fire is that fire is considered your property. Why would the owner of the camel be responsible for the fire that his camel caused by the flax going into the store and then spreading the fire from the store owner's candle? Who owns the fire? The store owner owns the fire. So the high lav mamona de bal gamalu. It's not the property of the owner of the camel. It's the property of the store owner. The store owner should be responsible. Amal Charesh Lakish. Rish Lakish will tell you the case of that mishnah. Hachav mayaskinan bimisach seches. We're talking about where that case of that mishnah is where the camel's package caught fire. And then literally the camel walked spot to spot to light the fires. The camel walks to one area, then it goes to the next area, then the next area. So literally it's like the dog throwing the fire and the spot where the fire lands. So there it's the camel is doing it with its direct action. So with the direct action at that point already it becomes chitzav, because it's his action. Now it's not just mimono, the property. Because he moved it, right? If I go and I take your, your baseball bat and I break somebody else's car, I need to pay. It's his baseball bat, it's his property. Yeah, but it's my action. So the same thing over here. This was his action. It was the action directly of the camel. And therefore, the owner of the camel needs to pay, even according to Reish Lakish. That's a good point. Well, this would be full because it's the direct action. It's not the throwing.
But isn't an animal unusual? Like if you would take a dog, let's say, for instance, it's unusual for a dog to pick up and throw it and then to go get it and throw it again.
This, I don't think, is unusual. When an animal's got a fire burning on its back, that it's going to run around to touch different places. I think that's normal.
So Rabbi, as Jason said, is about the same thing as people suing gun manufacturers for the use of the guns. Is that the same logic?
Presumably, right? The manufacturer shouldn't be responsible on that element, right? I mean, there could be other reasons, right? We have learned that you have to get rid of dangerous things, right? You're not allowed to have a bad dog in your house. Maybe that would be a responsibility not to have guns around because they're dangerous things. That's on another level. You should have a thing on the gun that it only works when it sees your fingerprint.
We'll see what the court says.
If it's not your fingerprint, then it shouldn't work because it should be kept safe.
They're making it now.
Iyachi, if so, the Gemara says, if you're going to say that the case is where the camel's walking around, Ema Seifa, read the rest of the Mishnah. If the store owner put his candle outside the store, if the store owner is responsible. I don't understand, even Mesachsechas, if this is a fire that the camel's walking spot to spread, my chayiv, so then why would the store owner be responsible? It's the camel who's doing it, even when the fire was outside. So the Gemara says, no, b'sha'amda. Well, in that case is where the camel was standing still and the fire spread. So one second, amda v'sichsucha, if it stood still and it's spreading the fire around, so kol shekin lechen v'nipater bal gamal chayiv. Of course, the owner of the candle should be exempt because it's something which is completely unanticipated that he should think of such a thing. So therefore, the Gemara says, right? Because the owner of the camel is the one who's negligent, not getting his camel away. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Manoach Mishmed Rav Ika. The Mishnah is talking about where the camel stopped because it had to go to the bathroom. So since it was trying to go to the bathroom, you can't expect the owner of the camel to push it away. And at that moment, the package that's on its back caught fire, and then it spread that fire onto the house. And therefore, we say it's really the responsibility of the owner of the fire. He should never have put his fire outside. Whereas the owner of the camel, it's really out of his control because this camel had to go to the bathroom.
Rabbi, maybe Hashem wants these things to happen. Why they don't talk about that?
So now the Gemara explains the Braisa. Reisha, in the first case, where the camel's package got lit on fire from the candle that's inside of the store. Bal Gamal Chayiv, the owner of the camel's responsible. Lo Yiboyle Lafusha Betina, I should never have put so much of, you know, so many things on top of his camel, so that when the camel walks in the streets, part of the package is in the store. Safer, but in the latter case, where the candle was left outside of the store, and the camel is standing still because it has to go to the bathroom, the store owner is responsible. He should never have left his candle outside the store. So he did the act of negligence, and he's therefore responsible for the fire and the damage that the fire causes. So again, we're still in this question.
Especially we're talking about the
Yeah, we just saw it before earlier today, the narrow roof.
To clarify, just because he put the ner mechutz lachanut, if it wasn't put in the chanut, that's a different.
That's right, since he put the candle outside the store, which is where he's not allowed to do, so now he's responsible. So we still are stuck with this dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Is fire basically a person who damages, and it's a person's force? Or is fire property that damages? Tashma, come in here, a proof. We learned later. Hamadakas Agadish, if I lit my friend's hay pile, and there was a goat tied next to the pile, or tied to the pile, or Evet Samuchlo, and there was a person, a slave, loitering around next to the pile, Venisrafimo, and Nebuch the goat and the slave were burned in the fire that I lit. Chayev, I have to pay for the damages. And it's not considered a case of murder. And we know that in murder, Kimli Bidrabine, once he's being put to death for the act of murder, he doesn't have to get any other punishments. But here we'd say, no, it's not murder, because we would have said the person should have run away. He wasn't tied up. He could have escaped. Why didn't he run away? So it's his fault. It's not murder. However, Evet Kafuslo, but let's say the slave was tied up next to, or tied to the pile. Kadis Samachlo, there's a goat next to the pile of hay, and I light the pile of hay. Venis Rafimo, and the goat and the slave get burned in that fire. Now, Patra, I don't have to pay for the hay, because now I'm a murderer. I should be put to death for the act of killing the slave, because I killed him. I restrained him and then lit him on fire. What's the difference of killing him with a fire or killing him with a bullet? I killed him. So Mar says, Bishwal Amadam Reishim Mishum Chitza. Now, if you're going to say that fire is a human action, so now I understand Mishum Achi Patra. I understand why if a person lights a haystack and in that is also killing a person, he's exempt. It's an act of murder. El Amadam Reishim Mishum Amono. But if you're going to say fire is like a guy's ox, and the fire is his property and he's responsible for what his property does, so on my putter, I don't understand why if he lights a haystack and there is a slave tied there, is he exempt for the damage to the haystack? I don't understand. Ilu katol tura avda. Because you say, oh, the fire that he lit killed someone. Yeah, if his animal would kill someone, is that going to exempt him? Of course not. It's not kimli bidrabine. So here too, if Shem Lakish will tell you, you know what the case is? Kishihitzis begufo shel Evet. Where he literally brought the fire to the body of the slave who was tied. The fire lighter, the guy who lit the fire. So if a man brings his ox and he, you know, bashes with the horn of the ox the chest of somebody else, when he pushes the ox in, then he's the murderer. So here too, he put the fire on the person, he's the murderer. Now the Kimli B'Dramine, that's why, since he's getting the greater punishment of being a murderer, he doesn't have to pay for the damage, the property damage that the fire caused.
This is if he pushes the ox.
Yeah, with his hands.
But if the ox goes on his own?
And not. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha. So one second, the Yachim Ayin Lamemar. So what's the Chiddush? Of course, it's Kimli B'Dramine. Lo Tzricha, the Chiddush is the goat belongs to one person, and the slave belongs to somebody else. So you might say that the death of the slave shouldn't exempt him for the goat, because these are different people. These should be considered different actions. That's the Chiddush. No, since he's exempt, since for the slave he's a murderer, he's also exempt for having burned the goat. Tashma, let's try to bring another proof to this question, whether fire is human action or fire is property. We learned, this is what Lloyd brought up, if a person sends a fire in the hand of a child, in the hands of an imbecile, so he wasn't watching the fire. Potter, he's exempt for the damage. Midine Adam in the courts of man. The Chayiv Adine Shemayim, but morally he's responsible in the courts of heaven. He would be held responsible. I understand if you're going to say that fire is a human action. Chitzav the Chayreshu. So now it's the action, it's the arrows of the imbecile or of the child. And again, you're not really responsible, only morally. But if you're going to say fire is property, and you're not watching your property, if I would have given an ox and tell a child, you watch the ox, of course it's meaningless. Would I not be responsible? Of course I'm responsible, so I should be responsible in the law of man. Answer the Gemara, Itmar Allah. So we learned an answer to that. Who's the one who says fire is property? It's Reish Lakish. But I'm Reish Lakish Mishmeh Dechizkiya. Reish Lakish has the name of Chizkiya. Lo Shanu El Shamas Lo Gacheles V'liba. When are you exempt? If what you gave to the child was a coal that was going to go out, and the child turned it into a fire, Avol Masa Lo Shalevis. But if you gave the child a flame, then Chayiv, then of course you are responsible, because it's giving a damaging agent to a child to watch. He's not going to watch it. My time of Bari Ezekah, because then you know the damage is going to happen. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan though, who says Esho is your action, says Afilu shall have his potter. He says even if you give a flame to the child to watch, you are exempt, because Kasavar, because since he says when the child is holding it, it's now Tzavta the Cheresh Kagarm, it's now the action of the imbecile, Velo Machayev, and you're not responsible. Adamasar Le Gavza, until you give to the imbecile twigs, silta, twigs and dry wood, who shrug and a flame, and then you're literally spreading it, and then you would say that you are responsible and not the child. Yes, that's exactly the point.